Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you. I'm entitling The Old Man is Dead. This is the first in what I believe will be a series of messages I'm calling the New Creation Identity Series. In this first message, we will look at the scriptural foundation of the death of our old man in Christ Jesus. This is where we will begin to see the complete and total change that's taken place in us the moment we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. We are no longer the same person we used to be. That person died the death of the cross in Christ. That person was baptized into his death. The old man is dead. Thank God for it. I hope that you enjoy this message. I'd like to begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we glorify you. We exalt you. We thank you for who you have made us in Christ Jesus, new creations. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We're not the same people that we used to be. We're changed. We're different. I believe, Father, that your goal for us this evening and in the weeks ahead is to discover exactly who we are, who you've made us. We thank you for it, Father. We come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. We arrest you in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. I know that you are the teacher, and I believe that you are teaching us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So I believe that that the Lord is kind of sending me in a particular direction. I go back to the last message that I taught, and the verse that is a very common verse. It's in the second letter to the Corinthian church that Paul wrote in the 5th chapter in the 17th verse. It says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation, a new species of being, if you'll allow me to say it that way. For all practical purposes, we're completely different now than how we were when we were first born into this world. And I know that a lot of you have heard messages along these same lines, and I know that many of you have heard about your identity in Christ Jesus, and you've been taught by people like Kenneth Hagin and many others before about looking to the verses in the Bible that speak specifically about who you are in Christ Jesus. And, you know, you can look those up. There's a number of them, well over 100, I believe. But I want to kind of stay in that same general directions, but it's a little bit more specific about our identification as new creations, as new creatures, our identities now. And, you know, we're going to begin with, you know, the death of that old man, and why I feel like this is so important, and it's important to me. This is something that God's using to speak to me about, and it's, stop identifying with that old man and see him dead. And I know that that's something that, you know, we've heard this. We've heard these statements over and over again. And yet, as much as we hear them, I think the concern that I have is that we've heard it and we've become dull in our senses to what this is saying, about what the Bible is saying when it's talking about the death of the old man and being crucified in Christ. And, you know, they've become words. You know, we're word people, but the words of God in this case seems like it's become just words on the paper to us, even though we're word people and we look at these, we dive into the Bible, and yet Even though that we have studied some of these things out, the reality of it has slipped through many of our fingers, and not just one time, but I think in a lot of instances that it's slipping through our fingers even on a consistent, regular basis, that the old man that is dead, that door was shut. It was slammed shut at the cross. The Adam, the first Adam, his existence ended. And all of the generations through that first Adam ended, died, no more. There's no more of that first Adam. And when you look at the official records in heaven, what you see is on that cross, you see the first Adam's death and the elimination of his existence forever. You say, well, that was Jesus. But see, Jesus, as he hung on that cross, he hung in place of all of us. And we were the offspring of that first Adam. He hung there for us. He died that death. He took our place. And in so doing, he ended the generations of the first Adam. The first Adam ceased to exist. So what does that mean, Mark? It means that everything that we in our minds identify with as being human beings in this world, because of coming through the loins of man all the way back to Adam, all of that ceased to be recognized in heaven. That man stopped and a new man came into existence. And I know that when you're just hearing this and you really have to not just focus on it, but allow the Word of God to paint this picture on the inside of you, not just paint it, but to reprogram your mind. You see, for years growing up in a denominational church, actually supposedly a spirit-filled denominational church, I didn't hear about my identity as a new creation. What I heard was that I was forgiven from sin. And that's such a, it's a very important part of our of who we are now, that was forgiven from us. But it's only just I hate to say a small part, but it's only a part of the full picture. And unfortunately, the church has majored in that area, and sadly, in many of the other areas, have just been mute. No, nothing at all talked about, only sin, just sin. You know, you're forgiven from sin, so don't go sin anymore. And I grew up not realizing that I'm a different person when I was born again, not realizing the change, the complete and total change in my existence, and the complete and total end, the end of that first person that came into existence in this body. So, having said all that, and I know this is just kind of the beginning stages, I really feel like God wants me to teach in these lines for a while. And so let's begin by just solidifying in our minds just exactly how dead that old man is. Let's look at some scriptures and reprogram the way we think so that we no longer identify with the person that's existed in this body before we were born again. Because that person is dead. And all the time that a person spends, a born-again child of God, all of the time that they spend feeling sorry for all of the horrible things they did before they were born again is wasted time. Wasted. All of the identifying with that person, what they did, who they were, what, you know, anything. It's all wasted effort. Because that's not who we are now. And I know as I say it, even to myself, as I'm listening to myself speak, I'm thinking to myself, everybody ought to get this. Everybody ought to have already understood this. And the problem that I believe I'm picking up from the Holy Ghost is that, yes, we should have, but it's only been mentally ascending to this. In other words, we kind of agree with it, but it's not a heartfelt reality, and there's a big difference. If you're only just mentally agreeing that something is true, there's no faith for that. The faith comes when these verses take root and grow, like Mark chapter 4 talks about. When this identifying with this new creation that we are now is a plant that's growing on the inside of us. I mean, that's what Mark 4 is talking about with this, you know, at the end of that parable, he talks about this tree. I'm telling you, this is who we are on the inside. This new creation has to grow and develop and spread out limbs and praise God. This is who we are. We're not the people. We're not the person that we used to be. And so here at the beginning, let's look at Romans chapter 6. Paul is dealing with this very same issue because people are identifying with who they used to be. So in Romans 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Isn't that to me, as I read that, Paul is that is one of the most cynical statements, how he's saying it. You know, he's like, what do you think, people? That we should continue in sin so grace can abound? And a sarcastic statement? Of course not. Obviously. But see, this is what they were dealing with. You know, once the people began to find out that, hey, we're not under the law anymore. We don't have to follow the dictates of the law. And God's not going to be upset with us because he's delivered us. Thank God. So as a response to that, they wanted to go out and continue to gratify their flesh. Isn't that it's just exactly what you see in the church today. See, there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new. The same devil existed right back in this time period as exists today, and he's doing exactly the same tricks. He's trying to do the same thing to people, to seduce them into what? Identifying with who they used to be and not recognizing, hey, You're not that person anymore. That person that used to do all those horrible things and say all those horrible things and was ugly to people and hurt people, that person is dead. Dead. You know, if you went to a funeral home and you walk over to a coffin and you look down at that person in there, that body is dead. The spirit's already gone to either heaven or hell, wherever their final destination was. That body's dead. You know, it's not doing anything. It's not getting into trouble. You see, for us, we are accounted as dead as that person. But see, as you can tell by my fingers moving around right here and my nice smiling face, see, I am not physically dead, but in the counting books of heaven, when I said yes to Jesus, in the accounting books of heaven, I was accounted as dead in Him, just as dead as when He died on that cross. That was the same death that I experienced in Him. So you look at that coffin and you see that person dead, and you can look in the mirror and say, that old person that used to exist in this body, that person is as dead as this person right here in this coffin. Gone. No longer here. And now the person that lives in this body is a new creation, a new species of being that never before existed. Glory to God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All the old stuff is gone. It's wiped away. Thank God for it. Hallelujah. So here we are back here in Romans, and these, as I was saying, these people are struggling with, you know, can we still sin? Is grace going to take care of us? Verse 2, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You're dead to it. In other words, it does not have control over you any longer. That's what this is about. It's not saying that you can't sin. What it's saying is sin does not have a control over you. You can now say no to it. You can resist the devil and he'll flee from you. See, that's completely different than what the people under the Old Testament had to deal with. And that's why they had to have a law, because they were controlled by sin. And they didn't realize that they were controlled by sin. And God gave them a law and said, here, try to keep this. And they couldn't. And it was God's effort to show them that they were spiritually dead. And they looked at it as if to say, oh, I just have to keep this and that makes me righteous. No, that was not the case. That wasn't the intent that God had. So let's go back here. Chapter 6, verse 2. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Baptized into His death. Last week, I gave you the illustration. I held my right arm up. And And I give this frequently, this illustration about the baptism. And the reason for it is because I still remember as a kid going to this one denominational church and seeing people baptized, you know, weekly. It was a big thing in that particular denomination to have people baptized. And I never really understood what it was all about. I thought this must be what a person does just as a declaration of their commitment to Jesus. I didn't realize that it represented anything else. I didn't realize that it was symbolic of anything else. And then the Holy Ghost began to show me. He taught me what baptism was signifying, what the picture that was being drawn by this being lowered into the water and then to be raised again. And see, these words right here give you the picture. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That's strong words right there. I'm sure you've read Romans 6 before, but did it impact your soul? Did the Holy Ghost, was he able to take these words and to paint a picture of on the inside of you, of you the as that old person being lowered into a watery grave of death in Christ Jesus and completely ceasing to exist as that old person? Has the Holy Ghost ever been able to show that to you? Has he ever been able to reveal to you the new person that you are? How that you can't be both. Listen to me. You can't be both. You can't be the ugly person you used to be and be a new creation in Christ Jesus. It's impossible. You are either one or you're the other. Which one are you? Have you identified in Christ Jesus, and as a result, identified yourself as a new creation being? Because if you have, then you're no longer bound to the constraints of the first Adam. You're not bound to that anymore. You know, those people under the that are still, how you want to say, they're still identifying in the first Adam. In other words, they have not yet identified in the last Adam. They haven't yet received his lordship. They haven't yet accepted the identification in him, in his death, burial, and resurrection. And so as a result, they still identify in the first Adam, even though he's accounted as dead, that they're still identifying with that person. And that, as a result, those people are bound to sickness and disease and poverty. But once you die, once that person you used to be dies the death of the cross, your connection, get this, your connection with that first Adam ends completely. Even though you still exist in this human body, you have to exist here. Because if you didn't, you couldn't stay in this atmosphere. You couldn't stay on this planet. You would lose your right to remain here. So instead of you dying physically, you're able to identify in his death because he died as the pure sacrifice, the Holy Lamb of God. And we're able to identify in his death, and as a result, the old person stops existing. That old person that was plagued with sickness and disease and poverty and all kinds of bad things and was they were never able to have their problems solved. Now that you've said yes, Jesus. Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. I stop being that person I used to be. I die the death of the cross. In other words, as I hold my right hand up again, in other words, I am being baptized into your death. I am being lowered into a watery grave. And now as I am raised up from the dead, there is a resurrection, and we are resurrected as new creations in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. You're a new person. A new person. Say, well, I never knew all of this. I've gone to church for 40 years. And it's amazing to me. Because here it is, right here in the Bible. You can find these verses. They're not, to me, they're not something you really have to go dig out. They're just right here on the surface. I mean, check this out. Back here in Romans 6. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, here we go, right here, is crucified, with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We shouldn't serve sin. This idea about whether or not I can go out and do what I want to and grace takes care of it, you're thinking like the old person. That's what it is. The new creation doesn't think that way. So what has to happen? You need your mind renewed. It's what Paul taught us in Romans chapter 12. That we should renew our mind with the word of God and a transformation could take place. See, it isn't that that on the inside of us that we can't have to do something to that new creation. That new creation, yeah, he needs to grow up. Our spirit needs to be fed spirit food. But for most people, it seems like their problem is in their flesh. And the problem is that their flesh wants to control everything and leave the poor little spirit man a little anemic on the inside. Because why? He's not being fed any food. You know, you go, a day, a week, a month, and you haven't read your Bible? I mean, just try going a day or a week or a month without feeding your physical body. Just see what happens then. Physical body is going to scream at you. It's going to tell you, feed me, feed me, feed me. And so you'll feed it. Well, we need to feed our spirit man too. Our spirit man eats spirit food, which is what? The Word of God. So as you feed it, it becomes strong and developed and it grows up. So, but my point, let's go back here. My point about the identification as a new creation really begins with our identification in his death, in his crucifixion, what Paul wrote here when he said, knowing this, that our old man Our old man. Now, who could the old man be? It's the person that used to exist before you became a new man in Christ Jesus, a new creation. You see, Paul he's helping us here, really the Holy Ghost through Paul, is helping us to differentiate between the two. There was an old man, and he died in Jesus. And we need to have the funeral service and be done with it and never look back at that person again, because that's not who you are. You're not that person. You don't have to continue to feel sorry for the things that you did before you came to Jesus. When you did those things, you did them because you were a sinner, because you were controlled by sin. You were spiritually dead. And once you said yes to Jesus, glory to God, Jesus, it all disappeared. It's all gone. Your past is gone. Those things that still plague you in your mind, where you wake up and you remember things that you used to do, things that weren't nice, things that hurt people, and you wake up and you've dreamed about these things. And you know, a lot of this stuff is just the enemy, the devil, trying to torment you. Why? So that you don't do anything for God. So that you don't press into the things of God. Why? Because you feel like, you know, I'm not worthy. Well, in yourself, you're not. But see, he made you worthy. Your identification now is in him, and he made you worthy. He made you righteous. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This is your new identity as a new creation. Not that person that you used to be. And I know that there are people that are going to hear this and they're going to say, I know all about this, Mark. I know all about this, and yet I can guarantee you that they may know all about it, but they're still being plagued by it because they have not yet renewed their mind to the truth of who they are in Christ Jesus in their new creation being. And until the Word of God paints that picture on the inside of you, not just because you heard it once or twice, you heard some preacher talking about this, or you've heard messages about it. That's not what's going to change you. That's not what's going to uproot that picture that you have hanging on the walls of your heart of that ugly old person that you used to be. And you're still identifying with him. Just hearing a message once in a while about this is not going to change that picture on the inside of you. It's still going to be there. It's got to be uprooted. It has to be changed by God's word. And only God's word can do it. Only God's word going into your heart, being sown into your heart, can produce a tree, an image of you as this new creation, your identity as a new creation in Christ Jesus. Only God's word can do it. Only his word. Nothing else. Only his word going on the inside of you. The Holy Ghost can unlock this, and revelation knowledge can come, and you can be changed. And no longer will you identify with that first Adam. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, God, as a new creation, we should never be in want for anything, because God is our source. We shouldn't be having to run to this person or run to that person for him to lay hands on you, or for, you know, run over here because you're in financial straits. You are a child of the living God. You were born this way. You're born again, reborn into the family of God. There's no reason to suffer. There's no reason to be in pain. There's no reason other than the fact that we simply do not believe the truth of God's word in whatever area that we're falling short in. We don't believe the truth. Well, how do you believe the truth, Mark? Continue to put the word of God on the inside of you. Mark chapter 4. Allow those seeds of his word to be planted into your heart. Pray over them. Pray in tongues. Allow the Holy Ghost to reveal to you the truth. Reveal to you the hidden mysteries. And paint the picture on your heart of the real person that you are now, that you are a son of the living God. Say that with me. I am a son of the living God. You're a child. Yes, you are. And your identity is in Christ, so that you are as a joint heir with Christ. You share in everything that belongs to him. And how much belongs to him? Everything. So we share in this. Joint heirs with Christ. We share in the ownership with him. Glory to God. So look at this verse one more time. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, our old man is crucified. The old man. Say that with me. The old man is crucified. The old man is crucified. You're no longer that person anymore. That person is dead. That person is dead. For you to continue to beat yourself up over things that that old person did is a waste of time, waste of effort. You're more or less undermining what Jesus did for you when you do that. You shouldn't do it. It'll undermine your faith, and it'll keep him from being able to work in your life and do the things he wants to do because of what you believe. So let's read a little bit more and see if we're done here. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Well, if death has no more dominion over him, and my identity is in him as a new creation, then death has no more dominion over me. What do you mean dominion, Mark? It doesn't have any authority. Death has lost its hold over me. The only way that death has any place in my life is because I allow it. Because as far as the record books in heaven are concerned, death has lost its hold. I have the dominion. I have been given dominion over the death. So if that be the case, and it is, then is it not foolish for me to run to God and beg him to get the devil to leave me alone? Yes, it is. Because he's given me the dominion. He's given me the authority over death. So let me give you an illustration. Let's say, for example, that a police officer who is a symbol of authority. Now, he wears his badge on his shirt, which symbolizes the authority that the state or the county or the government has invested within him. Let's just say that this police officer, let's say that he just refuses to stop the criminal that's right in front of him from doing a criminal act. Just sits there and watches. And he said, well, I tell you what, it'd sure be nice if the mayor was here. The mayor could stop this. No. The mayor has delegated his authority to the police officer to exercise authority over this criminal and stop them, to exercise his dominion over him. And it's not up to the mayor, it's not up to the county council, it's not up to anybody, it's up to the police officer to do his job. Well, God has given us dominion over death. So death has no right whatsoever to afflict a child of the living God, a new creation being, has no right. He can afflict the old man, but the old man's dead. The old man's gone. So when he comes knocking, when spiritual death tries to knock on the door, and through, you know, this the really the devil using spiritual death, try to get you to accept it. Oh goodness, look at this. Look at this. I've got this horrible thing, and I've seen it on TV, I've seen commercials about it, and now I've got it. Now what that is you're getting a little tap on the door, a little suggestive thought from the enemy for you to accept something that no longer belongs to you as a new creation being. Yes, this, again, we live in this body. But the body's accounted as dead too. It doesn't have any right to have sickness living in it. I mean, go back to the illustration of the person in the coffin. Do you think that body in that coffin is giving that person any trouble? No. So why is our body giving us trouble? It's because we're not believing who we are now. We're not believing that death has lost its hold over us. We're not believing that this physical body is truly accounted as dead. So let's go on here. Let's look at a few more verses. Let's see if we're done in Romans. I got the wrong Romans there. Romans 5. Let me go back here and read this. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. In that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Obey it. Look at that word. Obey it. Don't obey it. Don't obey it. Don't bow your knee to that defeated death and sin and Satan. Don't bow your knee. We are the victors in Christ Jesus. The enemy's the defeated one, not us. And we have been given dominion over death. It's time for us to exercise that dominion and stop allowing ourselves to be run over roughshod by the enemy, because we're not exercising our authority. All right. So let's look over at the book of Colossians. Paul, writing to the church at Colossae, made these statements, similar statements, in the second chapter, the 11th verse. Oh, wait a minute. No, in the third chapter. Pardon me. I was thinking of Timothy. In the third chapter of Colossians, If you then, verse 1, be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection, your mind, your thinking on things above, not on things of the earth. Let's stop right there. This isn't just a real kind suggestion, and I know, because I live in this world too. There are times that we're not, and I include myself in this, setting our affection on things above instead of things on this earth. It is a challenge. We live here. We're inundated with the news. We're inundated with the television. We're inundated with movies. My goodness, I was in a house today doing a job for somebody. And they were in the other room watching a movie. And I'm telling you, I couldn't believe the language. I couldn't believe the language that this person sitting there watching this movie was subjecting themselves to. The language was horrible. And I watched this individual watching this movie and allowing that trash, just filthy trash, to come inside of them. I don't know if the person was born again or not. I'm not sure. But my goodness, it was horrible. And I'm thinking to myself, how many people they watch this kind of stuff on a regular basis? No wonder people are sick and dying and all messed up, and how, and their lives are a wreck and their marriages are a wreck. They're listening to trash. It is just trash. There's nothing. There's no redeeming value in it. And not only that, but it takes people in the wrong direction. So anyway, that's what people are setting their affection on. Not things above, but things on this earth. And Paul's telling us by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost that we're supposed to do the opposite. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For look at this verse 3. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You are dead. So stop allowing this world to dictate to you how you should live, what you should do. And believe me, I know as well as you do and anybody else, the temptation in living in this world is just simply conforming to it, conforming to the way it operates, conforming our thoughts to the way the world thinks. But that's not going to get us anywhere. That's not going to produce anything except trouble. We want our thoughts to be God's thoughts, not the trash of this world. We want to think the way he thinks. When we see a sick person, for example, our thoughts shouldn't be, oh, poor thing, bless their darling heart. There's no power in that. The power is, get out of your bed and walk. The power is to speak life to those situations. Not to look at him and pat him on the head and, oh, you poor dear thing. There's no power in that. But see, that's what the world, that's the solution that the world has to sympathize, to give sympathy. There's no power in sympathy. That's not going to raise somebody from the dead by patting him on the head and feeling sorry for him. What raises him from the dead is when we exercise the dominion that we have as new creations, children of the living God, and we tell that corpse in the coffin, rise up and walk. You say, well, Mark, who in the world do you think you are? See, that's the problem. I'm starting to realize who I am. I'm a child of the living God. And for you to ask that question tells me that you don't know who you are. That you still identify with the old person that you used to be. And that your brain, your mind has not yet been transformed or has not been renewed. And so as a consequence, you're not being transformed. You still look like the world. You still sound like the world. When the world gets sick, you get sick. When the world gets poverty, you get poverty. When the world's marriages fall apart, yours falls apart. There's no difference. If you look at the church today, there's very little difference between it and the world. Why is that, Mark? It's because of this very point. We've looked at sin and told people, don't sin anymore. And we've elevated sin and not doing it to be the pinnacle of Christianity. And the real pinnacle of Christianity is who we have become in Christ Jesus as born again children of God. And yet we hardly hear these messages. We hardly hear about the dominion that we have, that Satan is under our feet. And that we are supposed to exercise this dominion and walk all over him and tell him to get out of our families and out of our bodies and out of our finances and everything else. No, we can't do that. Who do you think you are, Mark? You're not God. I am a son of the living God. I'm not saying I am God. I am a son of God. And he has delegated dominion to me. And it's up to me to walk in it. Glory to God. And it's up to you to walk in it. And not wait for somebody to come lay their blessed hands on me to get me healed because I can't believe God for myself, because I can't believe who I am in Christ Jesus, because I feel like somebody else is more anointed. I've got to get the quote unquote the real anointed person. Look, we are children of God. That's the height of being anointed. The anointed one lives in me. See, what I heard this the other day, and it bears repeating. And I'll even tell you, this man, his name is Curry Blake, and he has blessed me in his ministry. He ministers through John G. Lake's ministry. And I'm telling you, he said something. He was talking about this very thing, about this new creation being. And it just so blessed me, because I could see in this man, I could see that I have been assimilated back into the world's mentality of thinking that I'm just like the world. No, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am completely different than this world. And as he was talking, he painted this picture of a life that's even completely different than how I'm living, where he's seeing people's lives change, where the sick are being raised, the dead are being raised up. And I look at this and I think, this is what being a Christian is really about. Not trying to stay saved from one Sunday to the next. Not going to some spiritual daycare every Sunday morning to try and hang on to my spiritual life for another week. No. See, that spiritual dependency that the church has created is not Christianity. It's where they've created this dependency where you have to come here each week and we'll tell you what to believe and we'll get you through another week. I don't need that. What I need is right here in God's Word. What I need is these words, God's word going inside of me, telling me who I am now as this new creation, that I'm not the old person that I used to be, and I've got to stop identifying with that person if I'm ever going to see the miracles that we're supposed to see as children of God. That if I'm ever going to live the life that Christ intended for me to live. Well, that brings me back to my the point I was trying to make about Curry Blake. What he had taught was about, you know, who made Christ Christ? It was the Holy Spirit that lived inside of him, was the anointed one living within Jesus. Before Jesus, Holy Spirit would come upon the people in the Old Testament, but he wouldn't come within them. They were spiritually dead. What we needed was for the Holy Ghost to be able to come and to set up a residence on the inside of us in a reborn human spirit. And Jesus was our prototype, showing us how this would be accomplished and what we would look like when we were Christians. Christ-like. I laugh because, man, how far away so much of the church is from that very picture. And as the Holy Ghost within him was the anointed one, and his anointing, the Holy Spirit, now that I am a reborn child of God, the Holy Spirit has come inside of me, and I am anointed with the anointed one. I don't have to go look for somebody else to get the devil off my back. I have more than enough. Stop looking to somebody else. As a child of the living God, you have everything that you need. The devil is scared of you if you only knew it. Mark, the devil is scared of you if you only knew how scared he really was of you. I tell myself that. I have to, because I get assimilated back to the way the world thinks. Well, I hope this blessed you. I didn't get very far tonight looking at the identification, the identity as a new creation, our new creation identity. We're going to talk about this more because this is really important stuff. This will change your life when you stop looking in the mirror and identifying with the old person. Glory to God, you're not that person anymore. You're not. I don't care what anybody ever said to you. The Word of God tells you that you're not that person. That person died. The death of the cross in Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, hallelujah. You're so good to us, God. You're so good to us. You've done for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Made us new creations in Christ when we received his death, burial, and resurrection through identifying in his substitutionary work on the cross. Glory to God, we became different people. Holy Ghost, thank you for anointing us with yourself. Thank you for teaching us who we are. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I pray, Father, for each person. Heavenly Father, that your word would come alive to them. That your word describing the death of that old person, and they could see, not just with their mind, but they could see through the eyes of their spirit man, the person that they are now, a completely different person. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you would like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.